Mike Costa.
It's a feeling it Friday.
And Judson Richards.
What?
On a feeling it Friday.
What? What?
Here's Costa and Judson.
Well, that was fun last night.
Oh, baby!
Tatis's homering. Football is on our television.
It's here.
It's here, man.
It is here.
We are approaching, a little bit of ways, but we are approaching, for my money, the greatest month in sports. October, when you are rich, knee-deep into college football and NFL season.
Yes.
And then you have baseball playoffs.
Yes.
We are getting close, but last night was a ton of fun. Good morning, Costa.
What's going on? It's feeling Friday, Judson. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Florch.
Woo!
What's up, boys?
Just a reminder, as Mike Florio just signed off there, he said, I'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
Incorrect, Mike. We will see you in an hour and a half. Mike Florio will join us at 7:30. You hear that?
Oh!
Popping the top.
Sugar-free, rock-free. Fletch, give it to us on a Feeling It Friday. What is our song today?
Oh, boy. Oh, Fletch is already screwing it.
Oh,
look
boy.
At you. Wow. What is going
on? It went so well in rehearsal,
wow.
too.
Wow.
And then we go live.
Wow. Talk us through it, buddy. Talk us through what's going on over there.
What did you choose for us today?
Yeah.
I closed out the wrong tab.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, right there.
Gosh, as much as I hate Jim Russell.
Is there any chance we can...
Hey!
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, a little aha on a Feeling It Friday. What are you feeling, family? 844-570-1360. Judd said, Fernando Tatis Jr., continues as the greatest player in baseball history.
Hot young Tatis.
Preseason is here. We saw the massively tall Kyler Murray in the pocket last night for the Cardinals.
He's just a little guy.
Holy cow! How is life on a Friday? 844-570-1360.
Can we do this as well? Yes. Special shout outs from the text line.
Okay.
Send us your name. Tell us where you are. You know, Robert and... Otay Ranch, wherever you may be.
Oh, Bobby and Otay Ranch.
You up early with us on a Friday? Let's hang. Get in with the fam.
Let's chill. Come on.
Let's chillax. Let's bro out. Let's hang down. I don't know what that means. 70470, begin with XTRA. Text the show. Let's kick it.
Who wants
Come
to
on. Kick it? Let's kick it.
Please take us with you. Take on me. Take on you.
Now, as we are drinking our rock stars, our sugar-free, well, yours is sugar-free, rock-free.
Yeah.
Fletch and I are drinking the black cans.
Right.
We are rock-starring out.
The reason I'm sugar-free is Marty Caswell, part of the new Darren Smith show here in Extra, referred to me as a minivan.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I got to go sugar-free, man.
Yeah, probably.
Got to do it.
Probably a good idea. Actually, speaking of that, I need to lose some weight.
Why?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, how far are you out?
2 weeks from tomorrow, Costa. That's what you said. That's how far I am out.
No, I mean as far as the wedding is concerned.
Well, no. Okay. We've got engagement photos.
Oh!
Which are, as I was saying...
That's right.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
you're about 2 weeks out from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm 2 weeks out.
Me do math.
I'll enjoy the weekend.
Oh, what are you
going
to enjoy?
But Monday... Well, I'm just going to live a normal life, not watch what I'm eating as everyone else is having a grand old time.
You going to go keto? What are you going to do, man?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to not eat. Like that's one thing. Speaking of Nick, let's let you know right now, just a reminder, Football Hour with Nick Hardwick will
Can't wait.
Begin the first edition of Football Hour with Nick Hardwick at 8 o'clock in studio an entire hour.
Right.
We've already gone over, we've written down all the things we want to make sure that we hit with Nick. It's going to be tough to get it all in because Nick's got a great football mind once he gets going. We'll dive into Kyler Murray. I want to know about Antonio Brown's feet. I'd like to talk to him about Jonathan Abram, the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about other quarterbacks. We'll talk about what he saw last night between the Chargers and the Cardinals. So Nick will join us in the Football Hour, Nick Hardwick Football Hour, 8 o'clock. But with as much time as I spend around Nick and traveling to places, going places as a co-host, obviously I saw him asked about weight loss constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And people always want to know like what the trick is. The trick is often,
yes,
stop eating.
Stop, push away from the buffet table.
Just eat less, do more.
Yeah, eat less, move more.
Yeah.
I watch Nick. He just drinks a lot of freaking coffee, man. drinks a lot of coffee and drinks a lot of water.
He eats gum to trick himself into food.
Yeah, he does stuff like that. So to answer your question, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat way less.
Okay.
That's really what it comes down to.
But then you also have to eat stuff that's good that helps you burn fat, too. But that, I think that's the do more angle of the eating less.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Just burn more than you intake.
I heard Jason Statham say one time the way he loses weight, he just drinks water.
Well, water
this
is
a
huge
way he fills himself up with water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next two Fridays, not going to be able to do the rock stars.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. We understand. Bigger things are at stake here. Where are you going to take said engagement photos?
At the house.
Oh, not at the beach like everybody else?
No. Okay. We're going to do it at the house.
Good job.
Instead of rock stars next Friday, maybe you could do sniffing salts like Adam Gase.
Whoa.
That'll get you going.
Whoa.
That guy is a weirdo.
As if those eyes need more to bug out about.
Here's what we want to do for the next 10 minutes, all right? And Fletch may talk the whole entire time. But we want to get preseason week one overreactions just off our chest. Okay, so the overreaction of what is, number one, the excitement that football is back, and number two, how no one takes into account that no one really is preparing for anybody. There is really very little schemage going on, and oftentimes you don't even get the ones playing in the first quarter. It's ones mixed with twos, which makes it often easier for offenses to have success against the defenses. But you want to throw all that out the window.
Yes.
Let's get our overreactions preseason week one out of the way. 844-570-1360. Text us 70470.
You can also hit us up on Twitter at Cost1360, at Judson1360, at Fletch Sports. I want to know who's going to the Super Bowl based on what you saw last night.
Yeah, well, the Giants, of course.
Well, good Lord. Yeah. You talk about a turnaround in one game. It's the New York Giants.
The Browns may also be going to the Super Bowl, but that could be legitimate. I mean, you watch that team. Did you see Baker Mayfield celebrating behind his coach as he was daring him to throw the red flag? Did you see that?
What did he do?
He just did. Freddie Kitchens finally threw the red flag, and they had this boisterous reaction, and Mayfield came up from behind him and gave him the butt slap.
Whoa.
Yeah, oh yeah. They were having a blast over there.
It's supposed to be fun.
Well, they were having fun, man. The Cleveland Browns, to me, it's like, it's boom or bust. Like, they're either going to be the best team this season, or they're going to tear each other apart.
Listen, we know that Mayfield's going into only his second year in the NFL. Yeah, they've added OBJ. We know what their running game is going to be like, you know, once Hunt comes back from his suspension. But I think it's not cocky fun. I think what the Cleveland Browns are experiencing is optimistic fun, because I think as you just alluded to, it might be boom or bust for a lot of people who are Browns fans, but as that team is concerned, with the way Freddie Kitchens runs things, I think there's a confidence there that should be there.
All right, so what was your overreaction preseason week one?
Overreaction preseason week one. That the Browns are going to be really, really good. Forget it, Steelers. That's your champ of the AFC North. And that Kyler Murray is going to be a pretty damn good quarterback in the NFL.
It's not the most dramatic of overreactions.
Well,
you said
again,
pretty good. Let's overreact.
I'm sorry.
Not like
I'm
mildly react.
Let me retract that. Kyler
your
Murphy
shirt says hot little biscuit.
It sure does.
I mean, that this is.
And Kyler Murray was a hot little biscuit last night, and he's on his way. And he's on his way to soon be the MVP of a Super Bowl win for the Cardinals. There's my
Thank you.
Woo!
Should we overreact about Daniel Jones and what he looked like?
And I know we're going to have some sound here from Pat Shurmur postgame talking about Daniel Jones' performance. But there's talk now of, like, people are thinking, well, you could possibly see him replacing Eli Manning halfway through the season. And now there's Giants fans
halfway.
Going, no, how about game one?
Right.
He is the starter.
You know, the Daniel Jones, I think, has the best chance to be the over-the-top overreaction. It also has the one that could actually be the one that plays out the most. Because even if you take into account offensively, the defense didn't prepare for you, like, you should be able to pick them apart. you take into account that it's Daniel Jones' very first time in live action around other NFL players and just how confident he looked, what he saw. You know, there were a couple plays from Dwayne Haskins where he just didn't necessarily know whether the linebacker was going to end up where he ended up.
Some rookie interceptions.
Yeah, that Daniel Jones didn't look like to have that rookie moment. Like, you kind of worry for Dwayne Haskins that he's still seeing those issues. Now, again, these guys have a lot of time. This is an overreaction. But Baker Mayfield didn't show that last year.
Mm-hmm.
There are those that just kind of know and have the ultimate feel already. And Daniel Jones looked like, you know, for him to deliver what he did, not be in his ears, not be in his head, and be able to go out, looked as crisp as he did. Even in the setting that it was, you have to think, if you're Eli Manning, that's an uh-oh moment. I mean, we picked on him yesterday for how dull he sounded. I wanted to take that back last night just to give the kid credit that that was impressive with what he delivered last night.
Can we even back it up further, Judson, and say maybe the Giants drafting Daniel Jones where they did was the uh-oh moment for Eli Manning?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, it's over for Eli. Yeah. Just how soon is it over? You know, the number six overall, that's when you go that high.
You play that man.
When you go that high, when Eli Manning throws one interception, they are screaming for you. And organizations know that. And if you love your quarterback, you don't put him in that situation, right? Let's go to Rob. Rob wants to weigh in. Hey, Rob, good morning on a Friday.
Hey, good morning, guys. So my overreaction, kind of bold take, is Tyrod Taylor will start or play a majority of more than one game this regular season. And it will not be because Phillip Rivers is injured, and it will not be because the team is either losing badly or winning pretty well. The reason why I say that is we've heard all offseason that older quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, they all kind of slowed down at the end of the year because, you know, they're saying they're older, they're tired, the ball isn't coming out as crisp. So I'm thinking, bold prediction, crazy take, Anthony Lynn, who already loves the mobile quarterback as it is going to have games where he's going to want Tyrod Taylor to play so that way, come the end of the season, down the stretch, Rivers will not have all those arm miles, as you will, on him when December rolls around.
Now, Rob, you said, because I could see Tyrod become a part. I'm going to go Tyrod because they went with Tyrod on the broadcast last night. Rob, you said that he would have multiple starts. You're going to see Phillip Rivers as healthy and Tyrod as starting?
Multiple starts and or he plays the majority of the game. So either Rivers might start it, but Tyrod Taylor comes in and plays the majority of the game, or he just flat out starts it. Based off of, like I said, guys, overreaction, bold prediction.
No, go with this.
Yeah. You run with it, kid.
Yeah. Rob, love it, by the way. 844-570-1360. Rob says, and I liked the and or.
Yes.
Because this is capital letters OR. That Tyrod Taylor, because of the fatigue that Phillip Rivers ran into last year, that Tyrod Taylor will either start multiple games or play the majority of multiple games this season, even with Phillip Rivers healthy.
Okay, if we're going to take fantasy and try to make it actuality with what Rob said, the load management scenario with Phillip Rivers, I could see possibly coming to fruition with Tyrod Taylor. If with that offense as explosive as it can be, if they get out ahead in games, yeah, I could see Anthony Lynn, knowing about Phillip's arm fatigue, inserting Taylor into games when it's a fait accompli. They have won the football game. There is no way in hell, in any universe anywhere, that Bub is going to sit there healthy and be okay with Tyrod Taylor starting the game and him being on the bench.
Now, what's
no
the,
way.
What's the goal line package that the Saints have sometimes? I mean, Drew Brees does come out of the game, right?
They bring in the kid from BYU.
Taysom Hill,
who's a hell of an athlete and looks like he's going to be a pretty decent quarterback. He's not Drew Brees, but Hill allows them to do some kind of crazy things down near the goal line.
They'll also let Taysom Hill come in when they're really far out and they have to last-second Hail Mary or something. He has the stronger arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That could happen with Tyrod Taylor.
No.
You don't think so?
With
the only way I could see it
no.
is some sort of both of them are on the field at the same time in the goal line and some trick plays where Tyrod gets sent in motion.
This is what I love about preseason football, because what this is what is right in front of our face. This is what the kids call a recency bias. Most recently, we watched Tyrod Taylor look good, look really crisp last night. And most recently, we saw Phillip Rivers get obliterated by the Patriots, and we watched him fatigue in the last month of the season. Let's all slow down, all right? Because think back to the Tyrod Taylor regular season games we watched him play in. He was benched by... Well, not bench. He was knocked out of the game, and Baker Mayfield was like, oh, wait a minute. This offense can move the chains. This offense can move down the field. And Phillip Rivers, if he is healthy, he will be out there no matter what. Now, what I thought Rob was going to say is that Tyrod Taylor would start multiple games after Phillip Rivers may be done as the Chargers quarterback, even if it's 3 years from now. But Tyrod may be getting up in age a little bit. I think he's 30, right?
I have no idea how old Tyrod Taylor is. I think Phillip Rivers is going to be the starting, unless there is just something catastrophic, which we hope does not happen. It would take just so many stars aligning perfectly for Tyrod Taylor to be starting as quarterback of the Chargers once Phillip is done.
Tyrod is 30, by the way. Okay. Send us your overreactions for preseason week one. 70470, begin your text with XCRA, 844-570-1360.
Here's the overreaction.
Fire away, Fletch.
Tom Brady's a system quarterback because Brian Hoyer looked awesome last
night.
Whoa! Rookie quarterback, whatever his name is, for the Patriots. They were both awesome, and they beat the stupid Lions like 29-3.
Yeah, what you did is just obliterate your take earlier this week that Tom Brady's discount is the biggest reason for the dynasty of the Patriots.
It's an overreaction, Judd.
Judd, it's an overreaction. Please give me my space. Let me have my time overreacting.
How about this overreaction? Kyler Murray will be the rookie of the year in the 2019 NFL season. He was 6-for-7 for 44 yards with what he did last night. What'd you make of Kyler Murray, Costa?
I liked what I saw. I really did. And the whole time I'm watching him last night, I did not watch the whole game. I'll be completely upfront with that. Every time I saw him take a step back, the first thing I thought was, wow, he's really short. I can't get that lexicon out of my brain. He's really short. But seeing him, and what did we talk about yesterday? If he's going to get out of the pocket, if they're going to move him around, he has to be able to spin it. And we know that he has that baseball background. He's got a hell of an arm.
He was 6-for-7, 44 yards. What was the average completion?
6.7 yards, I think, a completion. We really didn't see him fire it downfield.
Well, and I wonder, what is his vertical passing game ability? Like, even if you saw Josh Rosen last night, Josh throws a really pretty deep ball. And I do think that you need that in your repertoire. Now, Josh Rosen can't do a lot of things that Kyler Murray can do, but to be a quarterback, I really think to be a quarterback in the NFL, you need the threat of the deep ball, and every once in a while you have to be able to do it. And I still wonder about Kyler Murray's ability to be able to play that side of the game. And also, if you look at Kyler, someone said to me on Twitter, wish I remember their name, it was funny, you know, it was like they tweeted because they remember a conversation yesterday about what exactly will it look like. And they said, wow, I didn't know that Darren Sproles was the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, that's so cruel.
That's pretty funny. I also had someone say to me yesterday, wait a minute, this big reaction about how he could have a ripple effect in youth football, he's only an inch shorter than Russell Wilson. In those two comparisons, Kyler Murray, to me, looks closer to Darren Sproles playing quarterback than he does Russell Wilson playing quarterback. I mean, that was, when you look out there, you're like, whoa. That is unique to see that size of the quarterback position. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. And he is going to have to play big. And you mentioned being able to fire the ball down the field. The strength is there, I think, for him to throw it probably 70, 75 yards if he wants to. You have to think about what the Cardinals have this year at the wide receiver position. You got Larry Fitzgerald, future Hall of Famer, but Larry is not the guy that has the tread on the tire left or the gas to be your downfield deep threat every time he's on the field. So Kyler Murray might be limited this year just by who they have on the field, if in fact they don't have that absolute speed burner that it's just going to be Kyler throws it up and the guy goes and gets it.
You should try not to get Larry Fitzgerald killed either with the pass he threw him. But Cliff Kingsbury said, I thought this was funny. Cliff Kingsbury said in postgame, he's been little his whole life, meaning he's always had to try to avoid big hits. He's always had to try to find the soft spot and so that he's able to take care of himself. And so he's got a feel to make sure, because it's not like I was huge in high school.
Yeah.
And now I'm little on an NFL field.
I started shrinking, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, he's always been little, to use Cliff Kingsbury's own words.
And we also lose sight of the fact that, you know, at Oklahoma, he played behind what people would consider an NFL-sized offensive line. So it's not as if this is the first time that he's looking up at those tall trees in front, but a lot of what he did as a Sooner quarterback was done outside of the pocket, and a lot of that was tucking the ball and going.
However, he's moving to the best offensive line in college football to one of the low offensive lines in the NFL. Oh, how is that going to
be? He would take the Sooner offensive line right now over what the Cardinals have.
Another big overreaction from yesterday, Dwayne Haskins bust. Right, Dwayne, complete
Steph
bust.
Cosign.
I tell you what, Dwayne Haskins, he looked chubby, and maybe because it was the rib pads at Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins looks svelte to me.
Yes.
Like he's put some work in losing weight. I think the problem with that Dwayne Haskins is going to have is that when he drops back, if he gets into that mindset of, I've got to throw the ball here, I've got to force this ball, I've got to throw the pass, because I don't want people to think I'm just going to tuck it and run it like I did so many times at Ohio State.
He's got a great arm, too. He's got a really great arm.
Yes, he does.
But a part of that is accuracy and being able to read what the defense is doing. But some, you know, a great arm isn't always a good thing. Like, and one of the reasons why Jeff Garcia got an opportunity with the 49ers is because they knew that he had the touch pass.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily about firing it downfield. Now, I just said Kyler Murray will need to play a vertical game, but there's a difference between having a vertical game and having a rifle arm where you sail it 8 feet over a wide receiver's head because you rush in the pocket and you've got the arm that you can try to make up for. If a safety is closing the gap on that window, do you fit it in the window or do you fit it through the goalposts?
Remember,
you fire it with a rifle arm.
Remember Kyle Bowler when he went to the Ravens? And there was the video of him. I think he was on one knee and he threw it like 70 yards or something like that. Cannon for an arm. I mean, he could throw it anywhere in the field. Zero.
Right.
Zero touch and just terrible accuracy.
It's like being able to hit the ball 550 feet in batting practice.
Right.
What do you do with a 2-2 curveball?
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. But it was great fun last night. Again, our first edition of Football Hour with Nick Hardwick every Monday and Friday at 8 o'clock. So Nick will be with us at 8. Mike Florio will be with us at 7:30. Plenty of football to digest what exactly happened last night. As the football season is here, Rams Raiders on Extra 1360 coming up 5 o'clock on Saturday, and it's a Feeling It Friday as well.
It Who's this? Feeling Aha. It Friday. It is Aha, a little take on me. We'll talk a little Texans football. Matt Jarecki from their flagship KILT. What we can expect from Houston this season after this.
It's the Football Hour with Nick Hardwick.
Well, let's go. We're going to run the ball here. All right, we're going to run the ball.
This morning at 8 on Extra 1360.
Hey, everybody, Darren Smith here. What did Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, like about what he saw with the Chargers and all across the NFL? We'll ask him. We start at 12 noon on Extra 1360 and 103.3 FM.
Run along on this Feeling It Friday. Hope you're having a great one, family. We'll continue to dissect what we saw last night in the preseason. A lot of it focused on how Kyler Murray looked in his debut for the Cardinals. Talking a little Texans football right now, Matt Jarecki from the Texans flagship in Houston, KLT, kind enough to join us here. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Matt, I guess before we talk about who's going to report like Jadeveon Clowney and how Duke Johnson's going to affect that running game, hot seat-wise, how important is this season for a guy like Bill O'Brien?
It's huge. You know, look at what the Astros just did, bringing in Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of pressure in town amongst the fan base. You know, Bill O'Brien went 9-7 his first 3 years here, and he did it with seven different backup quarterbacks. That's an impressive feat. But fans are looking at the Astros that are going to make a World Series run this year, or you would think, and they're looking at the Rockets that just made a move for a former MVP And they're looking at the Texans as the most mediocre team in town. This is a huge year for Bill O'Brien to prove that he can win the division 2 years in a row and build on that 11-5 season.
Matt, Bill O'Brien is an intense guy. I'm sure he's not a bad guy. If you know his story, learn about even his son. But at times, he does seem like a guy that would be difficult to like. How does Houston feel about Bill O'Brien?
Well, sorry. One thing I've noticed, the people of Houston are very polite, and they're very nice, and they're very welcoming. Bill O'Brien is a Northeast guy, so he comes off, I think he's a good guy, but he comes off as rough around the edges. And he's direct, and he's not always going to be nice to the media. That doesn't play well in Houston. You know, one of the biggest comments that I get about Bill O'Brien on my show is he's so arrogant. Who does this guy think he is? I can't believe this guy. It's really the attitude that rubs a lot of people the wrong way around here. But like you said, at the heart of him, Bill O'Brien's a good guy.
Matt, you've got a guy in Deshaun Watson. You have an incredible wide receiver talent and a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. The fans who are looking at Bill O'Brien and this team and saying, okay, you have to take the step, that next step. Is a lot of it predicated because you have such a dynamic quarterback in Deshaun Watson?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people the way people in Houston view Deshaun Watson, they view him like a top 10 quarterback. Now, that's probably not the case just yet, but people have huge expectations for the team. And it's not just Deshaun. There's like five blue chip players on the Houston Texans. J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson. You know, there's Jadeveon Clowney. There are real impactful NFL players on this team. It's a top-heavy team, though. It's about Deshaun Watson. I think the people's view of Deshaun Watson in Houston, because they haven't had a franchise quarterback since the franchise's inception, is, okay, it's time to go win Super Bowls now. That's what it comes down to with Deshaun Watson.
Matt, is his game already there? Do you look at him and go, that is a Super Bowl caliber winning quarterback? Or do you say he still needs to grow in these particular areas before he ultimately reaches that accomplishment?
I think Deshaun Watson needs to grow. He's not – Deshaun Watson held on to the ball last year, and he made big plays. But he also took 62 sacks last year, and some of that was on the offensive line. But some of that was on Deshaun Watson. They'd like him to get rid of the ball quicker. He needs to make – quicker decisions this year. So Deshaun Watson does need to grow. His game is not perfect. You know, you could argue that Baker Mayfield came into the NFL last year and was a more decisive quarterback than Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson's game needs to grow. Now, a part of that's going to be the offensive line, like I said. Part of that's going to be what can a guy like Duke Johnson give to him? And you have to remember, Will Fuller went down midseason last year. Kiki QT went down midseason last year. There was basically no tight end production last year. One thing I will say about Deshaun, with no offensive line, with a loss of his major weapons last year, he put up 25 points a game. So Deshaun Watson's shown us that he can carry a bad team, and that's not something that a lot of young quarterbacks have shown their team. Right now, for Deshaun Watson, with the team, the team's back. You know, Will Fuller's back. He's got a new weapon with Duke Johnson. Kiki QT, he had an injury last night, but he's going to be fine. The team's back now, so now it's about, with all the pieces here, can Deshaun Watson distribute the ball? Because he was locked on to DeAndre Hopkins last year, but that was understandable. He didn't have any other weapons.
Matt, we have special interest in the Texans this year because of them drafting Aztec tight end Kahale Waring. I don't know how much you've been able to pay attention to him in camp. How's he looked so far?
Well, he's looked good. I mean, actually, the Texans want him to be a starter by midseason. They really like Kahale Waring. You know, the tight end group is deep on this team, and Kahale Waring found it hard to get out to pre. He had an undisclosed injury for about the first week of training camp. And Bill O'Brien's not shy about that stuff. He'll come out after practice and say, you know, Kahale Waring hasn't been here. But since Waring's been at practice, Bill O'Brien's basically had nothing but good things to say about him. What the reason they like him, you know, they have tight ends that can catch, and they have tight ends that can block, but they don't have a tight end that they feel like can do it all and has the speed to get open. They feel like Kahale Waring can be the guy that's going to be the complete package. Now, he didn't block, you know, according to the smart football people here, he didn't block the way that he needs to block in college, but what they liked about him was that he was a willing blocker for the Aztecs. So they really like him. Now it's about, can he put together the production in the preseason games going forward? And you got to remember, I don't know if you watched the Texans last night, but it's hard to evaluate the pass catchers for the Texans right now because Joe Webb's playing quarterback, and he's not a terrible thrower, but he's a runaround guy. So it's just hard to evaluate the pass catchers. But Kahale Waring is looked at in a very positive light by the Texans.
I know you were up late last night watching the Texans in their first preseason game. Really appreciate getting up early to join us today. Thanks for the time, Matt. Enjoy the season down there in Houston.
Thank you.
Matt Jarecki from their flagship. That's great to hear about Kahale Waring.
No, that's a great report.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if they're thinking in terms of starting by my midseason, then obviously he's turning some heads early on in camp. That's great for the Aztecs program.
Yeah, now, Fletch, you're bullish on the Houston Texans this year, right?
I think they're going to be really good.
And led by Deshaun Watson.
If J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney can both stay healthy, it's led by defense. But if not, then they're just going to have to put up 35 a game, which I think they can do.
Yeah, and Jadeveon Clowney not expected to hold out into the season.
The report is he's coming back after the third preseason game.
Right.
Will not play in the fourth preseason game, but we'll get that time.
Yeah.
And so he's ready by the season opener.
The thing is, this year they're going to have Will Fuller to distract from DeAndre Hopkins. And Fuller is no slouch on the deep threat. He is as good getting down the field as DeAndre Hopkins is. It's just he'll be in single coverage.
Is a full hour with Nick enough? I don't even know, because I can't wait to get his thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott's holdout versus Melvin Gordon's holdout. Of course, we will talk to him about Antonio Brown. Nick has done all the cry. I've never done the cryo chamber. Like, I haven't, like, hey, where's a good place to go freeze my feet off? I've never done that before. So we'll talk to Nick about Antonio Brown. We'll also get in what he saw from Kyler Murray, the Chargers as well. Our first football hour with Nick Hardwick coming up at 8 o'clock today. Also, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He will join us at 7:30. We are football loaded. Plenty of highlights coming at you at 7:15. And there was news that you may have missed. We've also been asking you, what is your overreaction to preseason week one? We've got some really good ones from the text line, and one is a bold prediction that has to do with the games themselves.
103.3.
Gone, and he is gone. Taking it the distance for the touchdown is Sheehy Giuseppe on a terrific special teams play. And now Freddie can smile because he has seen all of the units do their thing. And do you think,
I love the celebration.
Do you think they're happy for Sheehy or not?
Yeah,
he's awesome. He's a team favorite, no, and he does it well.
Yeah, 86 yards, and he went 86 in a flash.
You know, it's preseason football is what it is. That the television broadcast last night for the Chargers, that was rough.
First off, it sounded like they were broadcasting, you know, two tin cans with a string between them.
The lighting was very dark from the cameras.
Yeah.
LaDainian Tomlinson needed to just, you know, this is live, right? I wasn't exactly sure. But then there were also some really, really great moments. So this kid, Sheehy, that housed it for the Browns, who goes 85 yards, he crashed a workout in Miami, wasn't invited, just shows up, runs a 4.38. Is given an invite to the Cleveland Browns tryout. He lives and sleeps in a 24-hour gym with guest passes. He charges his phone at a laundromat. He ate 1 to 2 times a day at random cookouts when people would feed him. And then he gets an opportunity and houses 185 yards last night.
Okay, first off, the name You need a guy named Sheehy Giuseppe in the NFL.
Yes, you do.
All right. Just based on his name alone, Freddie Kitchens should be okay, roster spot.
Right.
That is, I know that we get into, it's the great hurry up and wait when the preseason gets here. It is the necessary evil. And I know you have a text there as far as overreaction is concerned and the preseason. But this is the one thing that is still very, very intriguing about the preseason and makes it great.
Well, and it's what sports often are, right?
It's the underdog.
And
Sheehy Giuseppe.
And the nice part about preseason week one is we had the combination of our first chances to watch Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And then guys that we've never heard of when we learn their stories. Preseason week four, which are still guys fighting for their lives, when we know there's no starters, you often don't tune in.
No.
You just don't. You don't. I know it from having to cover them. No one tunes in. That's what it is.
The MO of the football fan, most of them are, okay, you watch last night. And you watch the first couple of minutes because you know if the starters are in there, they're yanked. And then the second week, you're kind of, And then you pay attention to the first half of the third week because normally that's the dress rehearsal. And then the fourth week is, please God, I'm not going to watch because I don't want to see somebody get hurt.
And it's the calm before the storm.
Taking
a relaxation before 16 weeks of awesome.
No doubt. And Mike Florio with 7:30. We'll talk to him about a number of storylines, including the holdouts, what he thinks could happen with Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott, and some of the instant replay stuff as well. Nick Hardwick in studio entire 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk ball with Nick. Can't wait for that. Here's the text that is a very good one for an overreaction preseason week one.
That was an overreaction.
Although maybe it's not. From the 619, this will be the last year of preseason due to gruesome career-ending injuries like we saw with Jermaine Kearse. Now, I don't know if we can decide already if it was career-ending.
I don't think it was career-ending, but he came away with a broken leg blocking on a pat. I think it was a run play very early in the game. And he also came away with a effed up ankle because of the broken leg. So there's a guy who season... You know, there's guys come back from broken legs. It's not, I don't know if it's a season ender, but again, it really throws into context, do you need to do this or can you get as a head coach what you need to see from your guys in an extended scrimmage in a joint practice?
Well, how many players do they actually, how many roster spot decisions do we think they're actually making? Because I think that you would talk to some on the inside,
yes,
and they're making about four or five decisions, yeah. Right? Would you say it's more?
Judson, I'd be surprised if it's over 10. Let me put it that way.
You think so?
Yeah, and the reason...
Because there's 100 guys out there for a 53-man roster, 46 dress.
And the thing is, as a GM or a head coach, when you're signing camp bodies, you know, as soon as the draft is over and they sign all the undrafted free agents... One of the things you have in that conversation with them is, yeah, we think you can be a good football player, but we're also giving you an opportunity to get whatever we do on tape, that if, in fact, we have to cut you during training camp, you're going to have stuff that you can go to another team with. And that's why so many guys go, yeah, I'm on board. I'm here.
And I think you get a pretty nice, like, $30,000 contract, a mini camp contract.
Yeah, right? I mean, they house you, they feed you, you get some cool shorts and stuff, and maybe a free pair of cleats. But it's that for the guys, a lot of guys go in knowing there's no way in hell I'm going to crack this lineup. Like camp arms for the New England Patriots. You know that you're not going to be a New England Patriot come week one of the regular season, but you get to say you practice under Bill Belichick, you were learning from Tom Brady, and here's what I have as far as film from the preseason games I may have gotten into.
What is your preseason week one reaction? Overreaction, that is.
That was an overreaction.
Overreaction. We will take him at 70470, begin the text with XTRA. We'll talk about the remarkable things Fernando Tatis Jr. continues to do. Coming up at 7 o'clock, some of the best highlights from the quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks. They got their first opportunity at 7:15. Speaking of the Pats, Casa, suspended Patriots receiver Josh Gordon has officially filed for reinstatement. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has sole discretion on Gordon's status and the timing in which a decision is ultimately made. Any decision would be based on whether Gordon has adhered to whatever treatment plan he is in. Gordon was suspended December 20th for violating the terms of his reinstatement under the league's substance abuse policy, missing the Patriots' final two regular season games and all three playoff games. Where are you with Josh Gordon?
I think the ship is sailing. I think that the resume is what it is. He says the right things. He comes in, and early on, he does the right things. But ultimately, unfortunately for the guy, his demons always seem to get the best of him. Has he been suspended like 8 times? I mean, isn't there like a death penalty?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, we're sorry, we've tried this, but if you're Roger Goodell, you go, you know, Josh, you just have other, you have bigger fish to fry in your life.
The Raiders. Now that.
Hello.
That was something that I think I text you guys, and
you
I'm
did.
Like, because Josh Gordon is still contractually obligated to the Patriots, right?
Yes.
And Tom Brady was throwing with him in the offseason.
He did.
It's not like he's just disappeared.
He did throw to him.
Who knows? Maybe the Patriots know that this was part of the plan, and a little birdie told them, hey, we think Goodell is going to let you in after maybe a 4, 6, or 8 yeah. game suspension.
You mean because Robert Kraft's really the commissioner of the
NFL? Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Goodell doesn't like to piss off Mr. Kraft, especially coming out of Deflategate.
I think it was really great that Tom Brady threw to him, too, because Tom knows that that's going to make news. And when Tom Brady was asked about it, he just said, hey, I needed someone to throw to, and he was in the area. No, Tom Brady knows that when Tom throws with someone, he's trying to give him an opportunity, trying to invite him back in into that world that he is in by telling people he's ready to go. And I find myself rooting for Josh Gordon. I, you know, me too. There are so many guys that hurt people, whether intentionally or either by mistake. And Josh Gordon just continues to hurt himself. I don't necessarily think he's hurting anybody else. But and you know he has a real addiction issue. If you read about Josh, I mean, he was going to school high in 7th grade.
Yeah.
Like, you root for this guy, but at the same time, man, how many times can he do this and not have it be the final nail in his career?
If I'm Roger Goodell, I let Josh Gordon back in, and I'll say after an 8-game suspension. But I also say, this is Judson Richards, Josh. He is going to be your babysitter for the rest of the season. As in, he's even going to go into the bathroom with you wherever you are when you have to relieve yourself.
What am I making?
Well, I think you'll make a pretty penny, and either the Patriots or Josh Gordon will pay it. But it's like, this is the only way you're going to see the rest of the season without screwing up.
I could see Julian Edelman being that babysitter.
Could be, you know. And
who's gonna babysit him?
That's right.
Just pop for pets.
It's a codependency thing.
Yeah.
All right, we get it. It's preseason game number one. Most of the guys in the field last night were not. They're not going to be there week one. But there's a few fan bases that should honestly be excited. We'll tell you which ones after this.
It's the Football Hour with Nick Hardwick.
Well, we're gonna run the ball here. All right, we're gonna run the ball
this morning at 8 on Extra 1360.